Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yeah. program. Welcome to Starbright. We're live on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. As a song says, trust in the Lord with all your might, with all your strength, and lean not on your own understanding. I will hide your word in my heart. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. That word that you've given us, help us to hide it in our heart. Help us to hide it in our heart, Lord Jesus. Help us to hide it, Father and my God, Lord Jesus. Not hide it from ourselves, but hide it in our hearts, Father my God. Lord Jesus, help us to trust you. Trust you, Father my God, and not lean on our own understanding. Not even lean on our own understanding on the direction of what you're saying, Father my God, but to lean fully on you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we will hide your word. We will hide your word in our heart. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus, we soak ourselves, everything connected to us, in the blood of Jesus. Father my God, King of kings, Lord Jesus, make a way even where there appears to be no way. Open a door, Father of my God. Even the doors that appear closed, open doors, Father my God. Father, you are doing a work, Lord Jesus. We're still believing you and trusting you, for no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. We are still believing you that you are working all things out for good. So long it hasn't come to that good, we know you're still working, making it into that good. Father my God, King of kings, Lord of lords, your promises are yea and amen. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're at this season. I just want to say, you know, congratulations to those that have done exams, got results. Regardless of the grade, you've been through an exam. And in life, we go through exams. And some of it doesn't work out as well. Some of it works out perfectly. But either way, we learn and we grow. And I want to also encourage that regardless, don't let it define your destination. Because, you know, as a song said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The world has a way of defining us by what we achieve. But God's ways are not our ways. His will and direction is not, you know, as far as the heavens from the earth. That's as far as it says in Isaiah 55. I think it's verse 9. That's as far as His thoughts are, you know, His ways are from ours. Now, when you look up, you can't see the heavens. So you can imagine that we can't see. And as far as the heavens is, that's how His ways are different from ours. So because He's looking at a different perspective and overview, He's looking at a different vantage point. We're going to look at some people in the Bible. It's come to me, and I know I seem to be a bit stuck on some of them, but I really want us to gather some things from it. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, I'm working on a project I've been saying for I think months now, and I'm coming to the end of the project, and the thought crossed my mind, regardless it is good. And when that thought came into my mind, at first I thought, oh, but there was a peace that came with it, that regardless it is good. Regardless, His name will be glorified, regardless. And I've been reminded about some decisions that were made and some things by family that might seem to be a detriment, but not really. You know, some changes in my life, some things that I did differently. I didn't walk the path predicted by even what I thought a year previous from the decisions that were made. But when I look back, you know, and you know, would I do something differently? No, I wouldn't do it differently. I'm not saying it was easy. Some of the things, you know, I worked and studied at the same time. Would I do that now? Well, yes, but would I go to study full time and then work? No, because there was a lot I gained. It was just the way things happened, but there was a lot I gained from it. Was it easy? Not at all. So I learned in it to trust the Lord and lean not on my own understanding. And the Lord has reminded me of this, that there sometimes there are things that we don't fully understand, but it's working a purpose out. And we're going to look a bit about trust as it unfolds. Gather what you will from this scriptures and what I'm saying, and I want you to learn that so long you love the Lord and you're endeavoring to do your will, all things are working. You know, so long you love the Lord and you endeavor to do his will, all things are working. Because you've got to hide that word, the dream that you have, the desire that you have, he's working on it. He's bringing it out. But many times what we perceive is not what is going to the reality. Some of the things I'm doing now, I couldn't have perceived them because they didn't exist. When I started my journey, it didn't exist. But when I look back and how things have come together, I can see how bits have come together to work to bring about some things even now. And I want to and this is part of trusting. Now there's a quote by George Muller. And the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning, excuse me, of faith is the end of anxiety. I'm going to read that again. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. So we've got to have a look at whether it's anxiety we're going to be leaning in to. Fear, anxiety, worry, stress, or faith. And we've got to, when one begins, the other ends. They both can't reside. You can't be anxious and have faith. They don't reside. They're not co-pilots. Okay? We can trust and have faith. Okay? But we can't have anxiety and have faith. They don't coexist. So I want us to make that conscious decision. And we're in this season where we're transitioning. We're going from one season to another. Even the weather is transitioning. But we're also, as people, we're going to go into a new season. And some things, you know, when it comes to the end of a season, there's like a test. To see whether you could be promoted to the next. Now, we don't really know what the pass mark is, because the pass mark for life tests are not the same as for subject tests. Okay? And I just want to read from Exodus 1. I'm going to start from verse 6. In time, Joseph and each of his brothers died, ending that generation. But their descendants had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so quickly that they soon filled the land. Then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Now, how is that? It might have been not straight away. It might have been generations later, you know, that happened. We're not sure. But it says, then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. So I want to believe that it was a few generations had passed. So was maybe he wasn't told, etc. Anyway, he told his people, these Israelites are becoming a threat to us because there are so many of them. We must find a way to put an end to this. If we don't, and if a war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country. Now, they presumed that. It doesn't say that that's what they were going to do, but they presumed that. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves and put brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down under heavy burdens. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses to supply centers for the king. Okay. So we're going to 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Puha. When they helped the Hebrew women give birth, kill all the boys as soon as they are born. Allow only the baby girls to live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king and allowed the boys to live too. So does that sound familiar? Because that happened, remember, in when Pharaoh said that, you know, gave a decree that all the boys should be killed. Then the king called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed boys to live? Sir, they told him, the Hebrew women are very strong. They have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. They are not slow in giving birth like Egyptian women. So God blessed the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. So in that moment, the midwives decided to fear God and not fear man and support the Hebrew women. Maybe they, were wanting to hide them, etc. But they decided. So there was a first strategy to tie them up, to wear them down in verse 12. But instead of wearing them down by the mistreatment and the slavery, the Hebrews multiplied and grew stronger. Now, something that can, I'm thinking of weight, you know, excuse me, a weight that, you know, you do at the gym, you're lifting. At a certain time, it goes from tiring out to building up muscles. Now, some of these things that we go through is building spiritual muscles. And some of these things is for a greater purpose than that purpose that is presently there. And it's almost like a weight that we need to carry. So sometimes when we're in a situation, and as I'm saying this, I'm saying God help. When we're in a situation, it's not just about that situation and getting delivered from it. It's being able to carry that weight of it, that burden, to build up spiritual muscles for that which is to come, so that things, you know, it's like a spiritual workout. So there's some things that now, because of, I can say, because of what I've been through, there's some things that, it's not that they don't faze me, but it's just a case of, I think, right, okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, I don't get to that panic. I just say, right, this is what we're going to do. Let us fast. Let us pray. Let us seek God. Let us hear. Because that other situation that I've been through actually has built a sense of, this is what we need to do in times of burdens, in times of war, in times of that weight that you're carrying. And I want us to look at things, you know, even the most difficult things. You know, like I've said about this project, it's not been easy. As I said to the Reverend Tracy, that there's sometimes I just wanted to give up on the project. I wanted not to do it anymore. I just thought, this thing is, you know, it's like, wow, it's beyond me. But, you know, there always was that, you know, like stillness within that just said, no, you just need to keep persevering. And I got to a place that I thought, no, until it comes to an end, I need to keep going. And another thing that came, which was, regardless of how it works out, it's still good. Regardless. And this is what we need. I want us to come to that place that regardless, God is still good and he's working a good purpose. Now, I'm sure when the Egyptians were going through this, they didn't see a good, you know, but God granted them favor with these midwives that feared God and didn't fear the Pharaoh, and they were rewarded, they were blessed. So the Lord will send helpers our way, people to help us and support us on our journey that will encourage us as we take those steps. So I want, instead of thinking about this is too much, I don't know when this is going to happen, this is going to happen, ask God to send your destiny helper, your help, that one that is going to help you on this journey, that is equipped for the task. The person might come in for a season, might come in for a lifetime, we don't know, but that person that will help, ask God to send that person, and that person will be able to give you nuggets and things in season, support you. Can you see how the midwives just decided that no, they were going to, they were actually going to support the Hebrew women? Maybe they believed. Maybe they also believe that, no, these women, these people are serving a God that the Pharaoh might have forgotten, but we have not forgotten. So even when ordered, they said, no, we're not going to do that. Now, it says in chapter 2, during this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw what a beautiful baby he was and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a little basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch and put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the edge of the river Nile. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what will happen to him. This was a step of faith. Excuse me. Can you imagine getting to that place? I tried to picture it in my mind. That I've had baby you know, and I'm thinking of the last one. 3 months. And I know how small worship leader was at 3 months. Putting in a basket that I've made and putting in a river, begin to go. I don't know, my heart could take it. So can you imagine? Because sometimes we don't want to imagine that these people were human beings, you know, like had these emotions. Can you imagine the fear that she must have felt to think that this was the only option for her baby, that this was the solution to protect her baby? And the sister watched from afar off to see what would happen to him. Maybe she thought that if there was a crocodile coming, she was going to bat it away. Maybe she thought if it got too rough, she would take the baby out. We don't know, but she just watched from a distance to see, right, what is going to happen? You know, and it says that soon after this, one of Pharaoh's daughters came down to bathe in the river, and her servant girls walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the little basket among the reeds, she told one of her servant girls to get it for her. As the princess opened it, she found the baby boy. His helpless cries touched her heart. He must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. Yes, too, the princess replied. So the girl rushed home and called the baby's mother. Take this child home and nurse him for me, the princess told her. I will pay you for your help. So the baby's mother took her baby home and nursed him. Can you see how the plan worked? The sister watched from a distance. It said the pharaohs and the princess opened it and found the baby. His helpless cries touched her heart. Her heart yielded to that prompting of God. And then it just then that baby was under a covering. Trust. She must have suspected that this baby is easily going to this woman, Hebrew woman, maybe some mother. Trust. It doesn't say. It actually doesn't say. But even Moses' mother to be called by the sister and say, come, the Pharaoh's daughter is looking for you to nurse. It must have been like, what? Maybe she might have thought the baby might go to get to another city, you know, with the river. Maybe she thought that it didn't make sense. But all that was a plan. A plan working out. His way is not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As far as the heavens are, so his ways are from us. To imagine it, that's not the way we would imagine it. And I'm remembering how when Samuel with the brothers, when Samuel went to go and anoint the next king, what he thought. And we're going to look at that, but we're going to have a break and we're going to look at what Samuel, this is a prophet hearing from God, and how he perceived and what decisions he made. We're going to have a break, and after the break we'll come back and look at Samuel. Be back after the break.
Exodus chapter 14 captures God's people on the verge of a new horizon. They've made their exodus out of Egypt. 400 years of generational captivity and bondage. They can see the land flowing with milk and honey. They can see a season where they transition from not enough to more than enough. They can see the season where they reap the harvest of joy for the seed of tears. But there's something between them and their new horizon. It's something called the Red Sea. The Red Sea's in front of them, but also their past that doesn't want to let them go. The Egyptians are behind them. They feel trapped. But if God is the God of the exits, we're never trapped. Even if there isn't a way, He'll make one. And many remember this story by God causing the wind to blow and part the Red Sea so that they could walk into their new horizon and say hello to this new season in their life. But I saw something in the text I want to share and make a prophetic announcement to you in here tonight. And that is, before God gave them their hello, He gave them a goodbye. As they stood on the edge of the Red Sea, Moses told the Israelites, "Stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord, for the enemy you see today, you will see no more." And I came to tell somebody tonight, this is not just your season of hello, it's your season of goodbye. So hello peace,
hello peace, hello joy.
Goodbye fear. It's a new horizon. So goodbye fear. Can you take 30 seconds and begin to give an exit to depression, to sickness, to whatever's been bothering you? Goodbye, 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 goodbye. Somebody say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. It's a new horizon. So goodbye, shame. Goodbye, fear. Oh, oh, oh. Goodbye, hate. No, oh, it's a new horizon. I'm letting it go tonight. So goodbye, fear. Goodbye, shame. Goodbye, hate. It's a new horizon. It's a new horizon. It's a new horizon. It's a
speak that over your life. Prophesy. Prophesy.
Welcome back. It's a new horizon. It's a new horizon. What do you need to say goodbye to? Your perception, what we see, what we feel about a situation. Lord help us. I'm not saying that it's not painful, shock or things, but I want us to really focus on the new. I don't want us to miss the new. The new that is coming. You know, the new that is coming, because the season is going to change. And I want us to not be looking back at what's gone, but looking forward to what is come. Because I really believe this new season, you know, I really believe. And you might think, well, from where I'm looking, I can't see. No, but I want us to tap into, because if we go back to that Exodus, you know, the people of Israel were there, then they were told a burden, then they were told the, you know, about, Pharaoh said to the midwives, right, even the boys, start killing the boys. Can you imagine? And then what the midwives then decided to do, stick to what was right, what they felt right to do, and they were blessed for it. Now, the Israelites may not have, some may have known, some may not have known of what was happening, but it didn't prevent the midwives from being blessed. Now, I want us to look at 1 Samuel 16. And 1 Samuel 16 says, finally, the Lord, and I want us to, because this is about perspective, you know, it says in Isaiah 55, as far as the heaven is from the earth, you know, so I thought ways from our ways. Isaiah 55, I think it's 9. That's Isaiah 55, 9. I'm just looking, because so I don't paraphrase something. Oops. Went past it. Isaiah 55:9. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So that distance, but I want to also bring a point, not only the distance but the perspective. They, you know, his ways, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so from the perspective of the heavens, there's more of an overview than the earth. You're just seeing what's in front of you. So I want us to look at perspective. God's perspective of things is different, and that's why his ways are different from our ways. That's why, you know, it's just, it's different, so different. Now, 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. Finally, the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. Now, I want us to look at that. You have mourned long enough for Saul. Sometimes there are things that happen, we look back too much, we've dwelt on that situation, we have over whatever it is that represents. Maybe there's something, decisions they've made, you just maybe have a bit of regret about, maybe, you know, there's sometimes there's some things that I think, oh, could have done better. But what I'm trying to do and endeavoring to do is, okay, I can't change that, but from this vantage point, what do I do? I can't change that has happened, you know, but from here, what can I do? And how can God direct me to, if that's where I've got to be, how can God direct me to that? Because as we can see from Moses, as we can see from Abraham, as we can see from David, all different ages. Where you start from doesn't predict your end when you're in God. And the Holy Spirit picked those people because it's just come to my brain, my mind, that Moses, he was born at a time where he should have been killed. Okay. But it didn't happen. The princess found him and said he should be nursed. Abraham technically was probably looking for retirement and settling, you know, just having, you know, getting wealthy, feeding the land. And he was told, go, I will tell you where I'm going, where you're to go. You know, he was told to go. So age is not where you're born, how it doesn't predict your destination. Your age doesn't predict your destination. And David was not even invited, does not predict your destination. And so let us not look back. Let's ask God to help us not to look back. It says, I have rejected him as king of Israel. Now fill your horn with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there. For I have selected one of his sons to be my new king. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed him. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the leaders of the town became afraid. What's wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab, and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord told Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I rejected him. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way you do. Don't judge. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way you do. And I just want to remind someone, as I was reminded by a beautiful daughter of mine, that it's the Lord that qualifies, you know, us for what we've got to do. What he asks us to do, he's the one that qualifies us. But thank you, Holy Spirit. What we have to do is go through the tests that he has brought us through. So you're in a season, and I want you to let go of that which is gone, to stop mourning about it. And that doesn't mean that you get amnesia, but I don't want it to weigh you down. But I want us to have eyes on what is to come, because I want us to prepare for the change. I want us to prepare so we are people that don't judge by human perspective. Don't count yourself out when God hasn't counted you out. He's got something wonderful in mind for you. Don't rule yourself out. You know, we're very quick to rule ourselves out, but God doesn't judge. If left to human understanding, Samuel will have anointed the first son, Bob's your uncle, off your trot, and he'll have legged it back out of the city and thought, right, job done. But God says, you know, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way you do, the way we do. Even other people might have looked and judged, but the Lord doesn't make a decision based on that. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing I'm trying to think, but there's nothing. You know, he's able to do something that seems to be out of... Look, a law was passed. The sons were supposed to be killed in Exodus. He granted favor that they weren't. You know, the prophet, because he kept being sensitive to the Lord, that was told that this is not, when he said, oh, this is the person, he said, no, this is not. And it didn't mean that the prophet, as he was, didn't feel fear, because he said he felt afraid, but he did it anyway. So we need to ask the Lord to help us, that even when we feel afraid to do it, to go forward, if he has sent us to go forward, because we actually do not know. He said, then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. The next summoned, you know, but Samuel, and he said the same way all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, are these all you have? Are these all you have? Is this all that you have? Is there something that you've discounted that God wants to multiply? Is there something you've discounted that God wants to bless? That small thing that you think is not much, God wants to bless. God wants to anoint. And we can see there is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was ruddy and handsome with pleasant eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So even the one that was not invited, was felt, we could look at not worthy to be there, was then considered the one. So I want us to look at that, that even something that's in your hand that looks like you're not even bringing this to the Lord. You might be tired of bringing it to the Lord. You might not even consider it. But God might be looking at that skill, talent, something that you may think that it's not even a skill and talent. God might be looking at it like that is a skill and talent. So I want us to really look at it with a different perspective. I really want us to hold on to the Lord, because his way is not our way, and his thoughts are not, you know, are different. With what I'm doing now, I didn't even know, like I said, it existed when I started my job of work, my path of working and things like that. And some of the jobs I've done don't exist now, because that was for a time and a season. That role doesn't exist. So the Lord is directing in ways that we cannot predict, but he brings a lot together in the way that we even can't predict. So I don't want us to look at, well, this was wasted, that's wasted. I don't want us to dwell on the hurt and the disappointment. I don't want us to dwell on, this year has gone so... I don't want us to dwell. I want us to look forward to that which God, because God is... His grace and mercy is new every morning. His blessings are new. Everything he's able to do new. He did a new thing for Abraham that, you know, it was considered like, can you imagine? It's described in the passage as good as dead. You know, it was considered as good as dead when the son was actually born. So, as none of you are considered as good as dead, there is still a lot that the Lord wants to do. And even then, if you discount yourself, God is still counting you. So let us pray for our mind to transfer to the new, our heart to transfer to the new. And let us not let the disappointments of the past drown us, so that they bury us in a place. You know, we have so many reasons to thank God. And I want you to list out no matter how difficult, the reasons you have to thank God. You know, you woke up this morning, thank God. You can breathe, thank God. You have a roof over your head, thank God. You have life, you have family, you have friends, you have job, you can swallow, you can breathe unaided, thank God. And you may look at, you can walk with your two legs, thank God. And you may think that, oh, what is that? But as to people they struggle in that area, whatever area that you're discounting, ask people that struggle in that area, and they'll give you a lot of reasons to thank God. You know, I just want to thank God that, Lord, help us to transition to the new. Help us to fix our eyes upon you. Help us to focus on the things that you are doing and what is yet to come, and not on the things that have passed and have gone. Father, my God, we lay all our disappointments at your feet. We lay our hurts at your feet. We lay every feeling of hopelessness at your feet. And we say we are choosing to trust you. We're choosing to put our dependency upon you, because, Lord, you are the one making a way. Father, my God, we thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. We've come to the end of another program, and I just want to thank God for all that he's done in our lives, and how he's helping us, and how he's guiding us and protecting us. And I want you just to keep leaning on, you know, to the Lord, leaning on the Lord, because he surely wants to take you somewhere. He surely wants to take, and I promise you, you are a candidate for no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. You are a candidate for it. God bless you, and until next week, bye for now.
Our crowns down and worship.